residential and commercial customers, and they provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
And again, Kathy Dawes, along with Dr. Stephen Higgs, and of course, he's a director of the Biosecurity Research Institute at Kansas State University and kind of a well-known expert when it comes to mosquito-borne viruses and other matters. But you've been doing a lot of traveling, as you often do, and kind of some exotic places, if you want to share with us.
Yeah, sure. So a few weeks ago, I was going to England. I don't know whether you know this, Kathy. In my spare time at the weekends, I'm actually an editor of an international journal, vector-borne and zoonotic diseases. And so I got an invitation to go to the United Kingdom to an editorial meeting. And then just before I went, got an email and a phone call inviting me to Azerbaijan. And that was a very interesting trip. I'd never been there before, so I flew to England and then had to rearrange all the flights to get to Baku, and went there as part of a DITRA project, Defense Threat Reduction Agency project, that is basically mentoring and helping scientists in Azerbaijan to work with modern methods and also to produce manuscripts from their work. So, as you know, you mentioned a publication that we had recently. It's kind of a publish or perish lifestyle that we have as scientists. And, you know, if you don't write about it and you don't have it read by the community, then it's like you didn't do the work. So I went to Baku. There was a class of about 25 scientists, all ages from, you know, 25 to probably 60. And I was originally going to go for about 3 days, and then it got extended and extended, and they suddenly said, well, you're in charge of the agenda for the last 2 or 3 days. And so I did workshops on how to write, how to design experiments, how to submit manuscripts, things that many of us take for granted, but which can be quite difficult if you're in a different environment, like a foreign country. I mean, you have to be able to write English and communicate in a very different way to just sort of storytelling. And so I was there. I had a very enjoyable few days interacting with the scientists on a daily basis.
Well, and for those of us out there maybe who aren't as good in geography, where is that located exactly?
It is right next to Iran. Actually produces about 20% of the world's oil, apparently, which I did not know before I went there. A very modern city. They had these amazing skyscrapers which were illuminated with flames going up them, which just magnificent sort of visuals at night.
I've heard Kuwait is pretty that way too. I mean, with the wealth from the oil and that kind of thing, they're interesting to go to visit some of those countries. So that had to be fascinating. So is English then still kind of, is it the universal language of science? Or?
It really is, yes. You know, there are hundreds of journals out there now that are less reputable than some others. It's sort of a thing where people are lured in to pay money to get their articles published, but there's obviously a certain number of very credible journals, and VBZ, vector-borne zoonotic disease, is one of those. So that was who I was representing when I went out there.
Well, as you say, publish or perish. I think I'd heard that before from others, but mm-hmm. Does that infringe at all on research efforts or some of the things you do that way? I mean, of course, I'm sure you were trying to teach them how to streamline some of that publishing and what they need to do to streamline that process.
Yes. I mean, the other importance of doing that publication is it affects your career, it affects your capacity to get grant funding. We're always chasing extramural funding to support our research. It's one of the things that is normal for us. And having that publication record and being able to show the reviewers that, yes, you've done the work, you've done it well, and it's respected by your peers is one of those criteria by which you're judged.
Plus, I would guess it'd be a bit of a chain reaction type of thing. As your information is published, others can use that to their benefit too, and maybe they can learn things, and it gives them a whole different outlook on a particular issue that they're studying.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, we're the purpose of our research and those publications is to help other people. It's to move the field forward, but it's also to give the information to others so that they can repeat the work, do complementary work, and quite often we get contacted by potential collaborators because they've seen that we've published.
Okay. Well, anything else? I mean, we still have a couple minutes left if there's anything else you're kind of wanting to highlight today, Stephen.
No, well, BRI, active as normal. At the moment, we're in the phase where the area dedicated to research on livestock and some of the human pathogens is down for preventative maintenance. As you know, we take safety and security as a foremost importance to us all. And so part of the BRI is shut down sequentially throughout the year to do all of that maintenance. So it's all decontaminated and gassed and everything and disinfected. And then our employees, we've got an incredible employee workforce at the BRI who do go in and make sure everything is ready for when we start up again in February.
I had an opportunity to visit your facility. Of course, I've been there before, but in the last couple of months when the Black Hawk helicopter, Kansas National Guard, of course, had, and that was Army, you know, National Guard. It was fascinating to kind of see some. It's still a busy place. I mean, there's a lot going on at the BRI.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Education and training is obviously a big thing that we do, but also we've got, as I mentioned, the plant pathogen research and the foodborne pathogen research. Always busy, always something interesting going on.
Very good. And as I said, I know that actively you continue to look into some of these different things, and whether it be Zika or some other type of mosquito-borne virus or whatever you're currently working on. So never a dull moment.
No. Well, thank you. And I have to end by saying happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. And, of course, we share a love for a certain chocolate porter, I think, that we both like a little bit.
So. Yes, we do. We'll meet at Old Chicago sometime, I'm sure.
Well, again, we've had Dr. Stephen Higgs with us today, Director of Biosecurity Research Institute, Kansas State University. And you've been listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much. Coming up tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus, Brady Bowman's going to be handling the program. Rest of the lineup for today includes Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, and then the game this afternoon. Also a reminder, the G. Thomas Jewelers Manhattan Running Company Jingle Bell Rock Clues debut Friday, December 1st. Thousands of dollars of prizes. More details will be available, including those clues, on a weekly basis on our website at newsradiokman.com.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of Manhattan encourages you to keep your business in the community. KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. Republican leaders in the Senate want a tax bill vote by the end of the week. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy says some in the GOP will need to be swayed as President Trump goes to Capitol Hill.
Today's talk over lunch is in part a sales pitch to skeptics. At least two Republicans, Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Steve Daines of Montana, say